Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson. You know, before they were legends of outlaw country, they were lost souls looking for their sound. Don't miss Mandy Moore and the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the rise of outlaw country music and its biggest stars. Hear how one woman's vision in her tiny living room, far from Nashville's Music Row, became the epicenter of a musical movement. Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in The Boar's Nest. Listen now at audible.com/The Boar's Nest. This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for 4 lines, plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on straighttalk.com. Family plan discount with 4 lines, all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p.
Hey, it's Amy Brown here to talk about St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. For 60 years, St. Jude doctors and researchers have helped push the overall childhood cancer survivor rate from 20% to more than 80%. But we need your help getting that number to 100%. And most important, your support means that families will never receive a bill from St. Jude for treatment, travel, housing, or food. Now, that peace of mind means so much. So join me in helping St. Jude in the fight against childhood cancer. Become a partner in hope and text Bobby to 785-833. That's B-O-B-B-Y to 785-833.
I watch MTV Jams Countdown every day. I wrote to Tyrese. He wrote me back.
What do you say to Tyrese?
I told him what I thought were the best parts of his show on MTV Jams. And he sent me back a signed picture.
We're lucky to get to do this, but sometimes I will see Mike has booked somebody, and I'm like, dang, that's pretty exciting. That's pretty cool. Yeah, and sometimes I get excited after I've done the interview because I don't know the person. But with Amanda Shires, I didn't know her, and I was still excited because she's awesome. And then she left, and I was like, dang, like, Amanda Shires is awesome. And like, just affirm that, you know?
Yeah.
So super cool. Amanda Shires, she got an album called Loving You. It's a collaborative album recorded with the late Bobby Nelson, recorded before Bobby's passing, which was in March of 2022. It's just a reflection of the life and the music of Bobby Nelson. And Bobby Nelson is also now is
Willie Nelson's sister.
That obviously you know that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Making sure. Hooks from the album. Here's a couple clips here. Always on my mind.
You're always on my mind.
Like Willie has even said before, without Bobby, he probably wouldn't be Willie, the level of Willie that he is. Here's Summertime featuring Willie.
Summertime.
Summertime.
Living is easy.
So Amanda Shires has got that out. You should check it out. Amanda grew up in Lubbock, Texas. About 10 years old, she learned to play the fiddle. She talks about that. Old pawn shop. She played with a bunch of old dudes.
Yeah.
Like legendary old dudes. But as a 15-year-old, and you're playing with the Texas Playboys, and they're... And if you're 15 and people are 60, 70, and 80... That's a lot older than if you're 40 or 50 playing with somebody who's 67 or 80.
It's funny what she says about him later.
She got her master's degree. You know, she moved to Nashville, tells that story. Something we didn't mention, and it's just a note here, and I didn't purposefully not mention it, but there was really no reason to bring it up because it's not the reason we had her on, but I'm a big Jason Isbell fan too. I don't think we ever mentioned that
she married
Jason Isbell in this.
Or the High Woman.
You're right, we didn't. I didn't avoid it. I was just so interested in like her story and not her group or her husband. I'd love to have Jason on. I mean, that would be awesome. But yeah, it definitely wasn't about that. I was thinking about that too after she left. I was like, I'd like to have Jason on. I'm not sure if I think Jason Isbell is awesome. And I think sometimes we will tweet back and forth with each other. I don't know if when I first moved here, I ever got into like a Twitter fight with him.
That's what I was wondering.
Because I think he's awesome and I have nothing but respect and even am a fan. And I just wonder when I came to town if I would, because you know, I was a bull in a china shop for a while, and anybody who didn't, I won't say understand, anybody who thought that I wasn't right for being here, I just would lash out, swing, punch, kick. I hope I didn't, but I might have.
We can find out.
We can find out. We can. I've like tweeted and been like, hey man, I heard you do this interview. It was awesome. And he always tweets back and it's nice. But
she brought him up afterwards, so.
Yeah. That would be an interesting thing. I hope I didn't.
Yeah.
Anyway, moving on. The founder of the High Women. and she was awesome. Follow her, Amanda Pearl Shires, on Instagram, TikTok, and check out the record Loving You. And here she is, Amanda Shires.
Amanda, it's really good to meet you. I don't think we've ever met.
We've met a little bit in passing, but not long enough for you to make any impressions.
Correct. I don't make much of an impression anyway.
I don't either.
I'm always, people are always surprised that when I'm not on, I'm just not on.
Right. No, that makes sense. I think that I'm kind of like that. When's your birthday?
April. When's your birthday?
March.
What are you?
A hermit.
Is that a crab?
No, I'm a Pisces, but also a hermit.
I thought it was a hermit. I know so little about astrology. I was like, oh, the hermit, the old March hermit.
I went tarot all of a sudden.
I'm a Aries, but I always find that those are you astrology, like astrology believer buff?
No, I don't subscribe to all of it 100, but some parts of it's got to be true.
Like I'm an 8 on, I forget what the test is called.
Oh yeah, Brandy made me take that test.
Yeah, what's that called, Mike?
Enneagram.
I believe the Enneagram.
Yeah.
Because it's personality type, and so I'm an 8, which is like, you know, famous 8s are like dictators, sadly.
Yeah.
And my wife is a 2, which is a helper, and they're like 8s and 2s are right, and it defines her perfectly.
Oh yeah.
Do you know what number you are there?
I'd have to go back through it, but Brandy made me retake the test, and it came back the same answer.
I did.
It was the one where you're... Like she said, it's basically means you're a wizard. I said, okay, I'll be that.
Oh, you got the Harry Potter. Yeah. Did you find yourself when you were younger, I hate to say a front person, but did you find yourself demanding attention creatively 6, 7, 8 years old in those years when you were in school, but you hadn't quite taken to an instrument yet?
No, because I was started as a side band.
But even as a kid, say 7, your parents, do they know you as Amanda who wanted to be out in front singing songs in the living room?
Nope.
At all?
Mm-mm.
What were you like as a second grader?
As a second grader? I don't remember. We'd have to ask my mom, but I do remember. We moved around so much. I think that, along with growing up with little means, made me want to keep to myself as much as possible. Fiddle didn't help. It just added more drama to the daily experience of getting to school with the violin on your back.
Once you get to be a preteen?
Yeah.
When did you get the violin? You started playing at what, 10, 11?
Yep.
And so why the violin? That seems to be one of the more difficult instruments.
I just saw it. I don't believe in signs and wonders, but I do believe in signs and wonders. But at the A.D. Garrett's pawn shop that we were at that day with my dad, I saw it and I just really was taken by it. Probably superficial reasons that it's a beautiful looking thing. And it is Texas, so it kind of like drips fiddles out there.
So you're at the pawn shop, and you know, there's like 8 stories of your pawn shop fiddle. You know, mm-hmm. If you look online, all these different versions about your fiddle. So you didn't go into the pawn shop going, I want to get a fiddle.
No, my dad, we had a great upbringing. Is you know, everybody's got their own childhood, but we didn't have a lot of means for real. Like he shot a deer, we ate the deer. Mm-hmm. Got dressed on the kitchen table. Not, we didn't get dressed, the deer did. But his knife broke, so we went to go get a different knife. And I saw it there.
So you weren't even looking for an instrument?
No. I really just wanted sweet tarts from the candy store, but couldn't even get that.
I want that now, actually.
Yeah, sprees.
You go and you say, hey, I'd like that fiddle. And obviously, like you said, you didn't come from a bunch of money.
45 minutes of convincing, and it's...
In the store?
In a store, $60 fiddle. It was a Lark fiddle. I think it was made in China. But I loved that thing. And then he said, you have to learn how to play it. And I said, I will. And we went back to his house and he smoked a bunch of weed. And I sat in the front porch and broke all the strings. And in the summer, I went back to my mom's and she got me into the school orchestra class. And then we were awarded some financial aid to be able to get lessons. And through my violin teacher, who, thank God for good teachers, right, saw that I was getting a little bored with the violin and only liked specific passages. And he showed me what he was working on, which was transcribing Frankie McWhorter's, little backstory. Eck Robertson, first recorded fiddle player, taught Frankie McWhorter. And I was learning from Lanny, who was learning from Frankie. Anyway, he was transcribing all these old tunes that predate the Wills Band and all this stuff. And he played me a couple of them, and then he showed me Spanish two-step, and I walked out of the lesson and said, I'm a fiddle player. My mom said, as long as you, you know, keep up with your classical, then that is fine.
So what I hear, there was a kid who got a fiddle, mm-hmm. kind of out of nowhere. You just saw it. You wanted it. Maybe
divine intervention.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
when I was 10, 11 years old, and I was a pretty driven kid, I was very poor, so I had to kind of set a goal and go get it, right?
Yeah.
But you had a fiddle, you were getting no lessons, you broke the strings, but then you still wanted to play the fiddle like a month or two later when so many kids would have probably just gone, I'm bored and I don't know how to do this, so I'm going to move on.
Right.
Was that generally how you were as a kid and a young adult, where you saw something and you didn't stop until you got it?
Since you put it to me, like, I haven't been asked that question. Yeah, I guess going forward, you never know what kind of situation you're going to find yourself in, but I tend to go and follow my compass, I guess.
I would just think 99 out of 100 kids, age 11, 12, 13, that get a fiddle. There's no YouTube. We're roughly.
No.
Roughly, right. There's no.
I didn't even know a fiddle player.
And they still wanted to do it that far. That's pretty remarkable that you still had the drive and desire based on that one instance in a pawn shop.
Exactly.
That makes me almost feel like it was something divine.
Could have been.
As you play it, do you feel, as you start to learn it, does it start to feel more comfortable? I'm meant to do this?
Minute I can make it make a sound is when I found an expression for myself, because I didn't have much in the way of a vocabulary or frontal lobe development, but I felt like I had a means to, like, I don't know, like even I'm not even a linear talker. It's just, I can express myself with it. I just felt right.
When you're a kid in school, preteen, teen, and you are the violin player or the fiddle player, depending on who you talk to, were you known as that at school, or was that something that you kind of separated for the most part?
I separated it, but I also, like, I did all my fiddling and I did my orchestra, and then I also was really into music generally. Like, I watched MTV Jams Countdown every day. I wrote to Tyrese. He wrote me back. I kept up with...
Hold on. Yeah. Pause. You wrote a letter to Tyrese?
Uh-huh. I still have it.
And then
I have a picture of it. Yeah, and he wrote me back.
What do you say to Tyrese?
I told him about what I thought were the best parts of his show on MTV Jams.
That's
and,
funny.
And I colored all over the thing, and he sent me back a signed picture. And I was really into R&B and rap. Like, when I heard West Side Connection's Bow Down, it has synths on it that go meow, meow, meow. I thought that was fiddles, so I was at home also trying to learn those parts. And turned out much later that it was synths, which is fine. I could make that sound now with my whammy pedal. It's great. But I all that. Chameleon Air, that's a Texan too.
Do you find that, looking back, hip-hop somewhat influenced your fiddle playing style, at least rhythmically at all?
I think so. I think that in country music, you know, we get a lot of all that kind of stuff, and you know, we stole all that stuff culturally, but I also believe that I got a lot of Latin influence too. But yeah, it all influences you in some way or another, and I still love hip-hop and R&B and have designs and desires to play with Mapey that plays the fiddle with all the other cool people, but I don't know if she's looking for a second.
I was at the Opry last week, and even in my comedy act, I have a bit that I do that sets up very seriously, and I talk about country music and how a lot of people go, well, that's not country, and the root of it is that country music came from two places, from Africa, where they brought over basically the banjo, which has influenced all of country music, and from Europe with the fiddle, right?
Yeah.
And so when people go, something's not country, well, unless you're a black artist or a European with a fiddle, that must not be country, because you can always trace it back.
Right.
And then here we are, and we claim things aren't country yet. And the joke goes into Garth doesn't do rodeo, now he's rich, he does rodeo. It goes into jokes, right?
You want to know my idea? My idea is, are you a country person and you're playing country music?
I agree, right? If you say it is.
Yeah.
And... Yeah. There's some just an element of authenticity, right? That's all I need.
I caught 6 raccoons in a live trap last week, different live traps, and 1 armadillo trying to get the groundhog. How can I catch the groundhogs?
I don't know how to catch a groundhog.
Okay. It's a terrible thing what they're doing to my landscaping.
We have animals here. We have coyotes.
Uh-huh.
We have bobcats on this property right here.
Yeah.
We have... foxes, and then Circle of Life, because we had all these foxes, and my dog goes crazy, and then the bobcats ate the foxes.
Okay.
And then the bobcats got into a fight with the coyotes. There's just dead animals everywhere.
That's incredible. My friend Ricky Binkley might be interested in buying some of those from you.
Well, they're all ripped up carcasses at this point.
Okay.
And there's nothing more country than that. The ripped up animal carcasses on your property.
Yeah, exactly.
When you finish high school, did you think that there could be a career for you outside of Lubbock or just the Texas region musically?
Yep. But I wasn't sure how. I graduated high school a year early and went to South Plains College.
Why'd you graduate early? You want to get out or just so advanced that you just took a bunch of classes?
Kind of both. I was kind of not, I mean, I'd do the work and get it done, you know, got the honor rolls or whatever. Mm-hmm. But also I was skipping school and doing things, and I got caught and got into suspension the last whole damn month of high school because I stole the slips and was turning them in.
What slips?
And signed them. The ones where you can get out of class and then have the thing back in. Like, I took the whole package. That's after funny. An orthodontist appointment.
That's like stealing a doctor's pad in the prescriptions. You know, people
steal it.
You were doing that just at a young age.
Yeah, and then that lady wasn't there one of the days I did it, and I got caught. And that sucked.
What lady?
The office lady that's not the principal that writes the slips. She was, like, called in sick that day.
And then you turned in with her, quote, her slip.
Signature.
Yeah. Got you.
Oh, well.
Well, but here's the difference. You were actually, I'm assuming, missing school because you were working. Is it because you were playing the fiddle and traveling?
No, I was just getting stoned back then.
Okay, well, there you go.
Yeah, but I quit smoking weed 2 years ago, so.
And how?
I quit when it became legal.
Yeah, it's kind of the reverse of what I thought. So how did that work for you when you stopped? Did you have any sort of, did your body react in a way you didn't think?
Yeah, I mean,
like withdrawals?
No, I mean, I don't really know about withdrawals. It kind of got shown to me by my producer, Lawrence. They were like A-B in my voice. And I was like, okay, I mean, you can't really help me that much. I just sound how I sound, right? But in the end, they won, and I quit for that reason, and I quit also because...
Because of your voice, your singing voice. You're saying it affected your voice, got it.
Yeah, that's what their main point was. So I tried it out, and they were right, and then... I wasn't used to myself without being stoned, and I got used to that. And it's not like a big deal. It's just weed. But then you get used to not... I like being goofy.
I wish I smoked weed.
Yeah.
I have often... Just a quick backstory. My mom died in her 40s from mm-hmm. drugs and alcohol. Mm-hmm. I never knew my dad. And so I was like, I've never had a drink of alcohol, mm-hmm. never done... Only because I'm so scared of it. I would love to. I'd be the best. I'd win alcohol...
That's like Freddie Freeman. He wears those sun... things, those long baseball undergarments to quit some mm-hmm. cancer. I mean, not that that's the same as drugs. I'm just like, I mean, we all get these traumas and that's how we deal with them. And that's awesome because you don't really, who needs all that junk anyway?
But I wish I could relax. Like I have a real problem. Like I wish I could just be stoned all the time or some.
Yeah.
Just so I could go.
Find the chill that everybody else has. Yeah, I've become quite serious. I don't know how I feel about it.
Have you felt it change your personality fundamentally?
You know how sometimes you just, if you smoke some weed, you can be like, yeah, that's fine. I can listen to this dude yammer on for hours, but I just can't put up with it anymore.
That's why I need to smoke weed.
Yeah, exactly.
I have no patience.
I mean, I'm
for
not
anybody.
Telling you to do that, but you could probably ingest it somehow.
Yeah. So, okay, I do want to talk about the project here. And I want to get back to how you grew up, because I've been to Lubbock a lot.
Oh, you have?
Oh, yeah, a lot. Touring, mostly. Going to play the theater there, doing stand-up. Texas Tech's there, big sports guy, too. Yeah. So I do want to come back to Lubbock in a second. But Bobby Nelson and this project that you did with Bobby, but you did it before Bobby died.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
Right.
So you didn't do it, like, during, and it wasn't completed, and you finished. Like, the whole thing was done before Bobby died?
All of it, except for the, we were final touching mixes and mastering, but...
Why Bobby, and what was the motivation for you to do this project?
Oh, I made a record called Take It Like a Man, and I was toying with the idea of putting on You Were Always on My Mind on there. And when, you know, I have a wonderful, like, a world-class keyboardist in my group, we did it, and it was great. And I was like, Bobby would actually be really good on this. That would be the only way to do it, like, for real. So I just reached out. Reached out seems like bad grammar. Rotched out.
reached out. You know, rotched out seems a little gross. I would say reached out, yeah.
I went out to find her, and she said, yeah. So we sat down and did it in Austin. And as we were playing, then we started playing other songs like Red Wing and going down the rabbit hole of music that we knew. And then we said, we're going to make a band and that we'll need to put You're Always on My Mind on our band record. So we started making a record, and our big plan was to go out once a month for a few days and kind of, you know, primary or secondary markets and just hang out and then play music and do some shopping because she was very stylish and liked having fun too and going to dinners. And so that was our big plan. And then the gods had their own plan, as always.
What was she like?
She was tough. You know, she was tough and funny and a magician at the piano. You know how you can play with some people and they can let outside things in the daily like affect their playing, and it kind of, when you get her in front of a piano, it's like she's one with the universe centered there, and it's all just music. Like, you don't feel any, like, it's just, that door is just there and it's open and it's music and it's right and it's glorious. Yeah.
When someone like Bobby, who has played at a high level for so long, is it like, do you have a lot of, you know, life questions? She lived a life, I mean, similar to your life. She's playing music, traveling, making a career out of creativity.
Well, the difference, though, she got her kids taken away for playing in a band, and she didn't smoke weed or drink or anything.
What was that story?
Well, she was playing in places that weren't churches, in bars and stuff, and they called her an unfit mother and poor and all this kind of stuff.
Like 50s,
I mean,
60s?
70s or so.
That late?
I don't know. I'm guessing I'm not great with my time on here, but I mean, women couldn't even have a credit card until the 70s. But so she quit playing in places that served alcohol, went back and got a business degree, then started working for the Hammond B3 company, modeling those, demoing those pianos, and eventually got her kids back. And then in the Wexler years, rejoined Willie Nelson. And, Willie would have been Willie no matter what, but Willie wouldn't have been the same Willie had Bobby not came back to play with him. Because, mm-hmm. you know, he learned a lot about music from her. Anyway, so she had all that happen. And then, you know, various abuses along the way, and managed to still stay in a life of music and then return to the life and music that she wanted, which was to be a sideman and play music, you know.
Let's take a quick pause for a message from our sponsor.
This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your next stop before attending your next concert. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring. You're talking about men's boots, women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition, timeless style, always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort, little to no break-in period. Like, it's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Plus, direct-to-consumer pricing keeps the value on your feet, the money in your pocket. So stop by your local Tecovas store. Have a complimentary drink. Shop the new styles. You like the smell of leather or no?
I love it.
Yeah. That's what the whole store basically is. Fresh leather.
Yep.
Friendly staff. Or like the smell of staff?
I don't know. I guess I'm sure they smell good there.
Many stores have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. What a gift, too. Regular live music and events. There is no in-store experience like this. If you can't make it to a store, just visit tecovas.com.
TECOVAS.com. TECOVAS.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tecovas.com. Find your new favorite pair of boots today. Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson. How do the biggest names in outlaw country start a musical revolution? Through one woman's vision from one tiny living room. Don't miss Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the outlaw country music movement and its biggest stars. Brewer shaped the sound and soul of country music as we know it today, despite never picking up an instrument herself. Lovingly dubbed as The Boar's Nest, Sue's place was an intimate staging ground where a new breed of singer-songwriters, wounded souls, wayward upstarts, that's where they would spur each other and tap into something bigger and something realer. Starring Mandy Moore and featuring Eben Moss Backrack as Shel Silverstein and TJ Osborne as Johnny Cash alongside a full ensemble cast. Audible invites you to enter the Boar's Nest and experience the rise of a musical revolution. One woman, one time, one place. The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer, and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Listen now at audible.com/theboarsnest. Hey, it's Bobby Bones. I just want to say thanks to everybody who has stepped up for the kids at St. Jude. St. Jude's been leading the way in the world's best survival rates for some of the most aggressive forms of childhood cancer. Your support means that families never get a bill from St. Jude for treatment or travel or housing or food, so the families can focus on helping their child live. And that really hits home for me because I've been to St. Jude many times. I've hung out with the kids, played music for the kids.
I was in the hospital a lot as a kid. Now, I didn't have cancer, but if it wasn't for people stepping up, I don't know that I would have been able to go and stay in the hospital and be taken care of. So that's why we do this, take care of others. You can help St. Jude stop childhood cancer by becoming a partner in Hope. When you do this, you'll get this awesome new This Shirt Saves Lives shirt. So join all the doctors and researchers, you know, and me in this fight, and just text the word Bobby to 785-833. It's only six numbers, but text the word Bobby to 785-833.
And we're back on the Bobbycast.
What is your relationship like right now with music? You go in and out of seasons of loving it and for different reasons?
No, I really love music a whole lot. I just I'm aware of the people around it that, you know, a little bit more open to people's manipulations and motives.
For sure.
But music, no, I love that to my core.
So if I said, what is your relationship with the music industry, that would be a different answer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say I don't really have much of one with the music industry, but I'd like to sit down and figure out kind of how many dinners I need to buy.
When you grow up in Lubbock, Texas, are there any shows that come through Lubbock that you can remember going to and seeing it in person and going, dang, that's awesome?
Snoop Dogg, Merle Haggard.
Not together.
No, that would have been awesome.
Yeah, that would have been a heck of a show.
Blackstreet came with, well, maybe it's Blackstreet and New Edition came first. Mm. And then Snoop Dogg came and everybody passed out because it was in the fairgrounds and there's like no ventilation. And it was hot. And then, Merle Haggard. I grew up, you know, seeing Lloyd Maines play a lot because he was in Lubbock. And the Flatlanders, of course. And, all kinds of folks.
The Texas country scene. Mm-hmm. I lived in Austin for 12 years, so very familiar with Texas and Texas country scene. Were those guys traveling through Lubbock a lot? Were you going to any of those shows?
Oh, yeah. I didn't go really to the Pat Greens and all that. Uh-huh. I was working with like an indie group, Thrift Store Cowboys, and then we'd bring shows to Lubbock. Like we'd bring shows to like Lucero and Corey Brannon, a bunch of like Centromatic, all that kind of stuff. Bring shows to Lubbock that were, just different kinds of music.
Yeah. Eclectic, even.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you started touring at 15 or so, is that right?
Yeah. I mean, I started getting paid around then, but I would go and play shows and learn how to do it a little bit
road.
Along the way. Yeah.
And what did your parents think about that?
Oh, they thought it was fine. All the Texas Playboys at this point were in their 70s. Mm-hmm. And they're who I compare everybody to. You know, any kind of catting around they did in the privacy of their own hotel rooms. And I only happened to notice that happen when I was on my way to a hotel lobby once and I saw one of the gentlemen escorting a lady to her car, and I was like, interesting, but very classy. At the same time, you know, I just showed up and, you know, we had fun. We ate dinner. I got seven desserts at the end of every night, and we did little workshops and fiddle camps, and it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. Tommy Alsop is so far the best boss I've ever had.
When you go to college and you decide to go to college, you went to Swanee?
Oh, yeah, for my graduate.
Okay, where did you go undergrad?
South Plains and then Texas Tech.
You went to Tech?
Yeah.
So what was the idea behind going to college? Was it to keep learning music? Or was it to have a degree just in case?
Yeah, Mom said have a fallback plan. Mm.
What was that? What was the degree in?
Well, I was two semesters away from a Master's of Architecture in my undergraduate degree, and I bailed so I could just get a city planning type thing because I wanted to play rock and roll music, go on tour more. And
What do you mean you bailed? So you took it. I don't understand what you just said. City planning, is that? I think I know.
Oh, so I switched. So I had two semesters left of this other major degree. And I was like, I'm not doing that. And I was like, I talked to the advisor. I was like, what's the quickest way out of here? Said, you know, geography, city planning, go that way. And I'm like, cool, I'll do that. And
did you like it at all?
School?
City planning, architecture. Did you like
it? Oh, I liked it. Yeah. I like buildings and I like geography. I like knowing where I am. Not to the extent I want to be doing AutoCAD. That shit sucks. I'm probably not allowed to cuss on here. Okay, sorry.
We'll bleep it.
I forgot we were not just talking at like each other to each other.
Anything that needs to be bleeped gets bleeped. Okay. So don't worry about it. Just talk however you want.
I like to lie and say it means ship high in transit.
What is AutoCAD?
Oh, that's a program that you build homes and things.
Is it like the Sims? You ever play that game?
No, but it's much like a video game. Yes. Yeah.
So do you use that at all now at home?
No.
Whenever you, nothing, no renovation, no.
I don't know who to call to get a renovation. I need a bigger closet. I've got an Americana size closet and we have way too many shoes.
That's our problem too.
Really?
Is the shoes. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love shoes.
So do I.
And when both, because my wife likes shoes too.
Yeah.
I probably have more shoes than my wife, mm-hmm. but when you both love shoes,
yeah.
one loving shoes is okay.
Yeah.
But when you both do it, it's flooded of shoes.
Yeah. Are you sneakers or?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Did you see the shoe surgeon ones?
So listen to this.
Okay.
You brought up the shoe surgeon.
Yes, I did.
Because I'm a massive shoe guy.
Okay.
I never had shoes. When I first made my first real money, I bought a pair of Jordans and I was like, this is the coolest thing ever.
Exactly. You would like Ferragamo's story then, that documentary. The story of
on
shoes.
What?
Shoes.
No, on what platform?
Maybe Netflix. Yeah.
Okay.
I have some
shoe surgeon shoes.
Yeah.
I have a couple pair.
Which ones?
Well, so I have the... I have the Pizza Hut shoes.
Okay.
That are, I think there's like, they put out like 20 pair.
Mm-hmm.
He did them, period. And I have size 11s that mm-hmm. are universal size.
Mm-hmm.
And they're worth thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. But I didn't buy them for that. I got them as a gift when Pizza Hut put them out. They have GPS in them.
Uh-huh.
And we looked them up. And one site selling them for like $1 million.
Oh, my God.
Exactly. I didn't pay that
That's
much.
An investment. Do we have them insured?
They are. Well, here's the thing. We do not.
Can I have them and buy me a new closet?
You cannot. So, I love shoes. I'm a big sneakerhead. Why are you in shoes? Where did that come from?
I think that's what happens when we all come from nothing. We like shoes. You know, you're your kid, you're supposed to keep your shoes clean. You're supposed to have nice shoes. See, I don't know. I haven't thought about it too hard, but...
Is it fancy boots, too? Do you like boots, fancy boots?
I like all the shoes. I mean, shoes and boots and dresses.
Do you have a favorite? Okay, I love red.
You do?
I do.
Shoes?
Everything.
Okay.
But yes, red shoes
mm-hmm.
especially. I have a whole section
mm-hmm.
of red shoes
okay.
and red boots, and mm-hmm. I'll get them specially made too.
Yeah.
Like I'm a big nerd.
Yeah.
Do you have a special, like a theme of your, a favorite theme in any sort of footwear apparel?
I like my shoes very tall because I'm so very short. I'm almost 5'3".
Like,
so
like heels.
I like platforms. I like heels. Mm-hmm. I like even the, you know, the tall tennis shoes that are tall. And then I've got some tennis shoes with heels. I got, you know.
My favorites, we could nerd out for a second mm-hmm. on shoes because I could do shoes all day.
Yeah.
But, and they're not the most dramatic, but just an example here. These are New Balance.
Yep.
And
those are pretty.
And I never really, I always thought New Balance were kind of lame until they started to actually not be lame, meaning
mm-hmm.
they started to color them up a little bit and they
mm-hmm.
started to make them a little trendier, but then they started to know they were cool and they started jacking the prices up a lot too.
Yeah.
And now I think they're the best, it's the best general universal tennis shoe.
Yep. It's really good.
It used to be Adidas.
Mm-hmm.
Adidas used to, for me, be the big winner there.
Yep.
But now, New Balance, and maybe it's got, I'm getting older too, but I don't think so. I think these New Balance are just really cool.
I think if you have been in the shoe game for a minute, you know what the hell you're talking about.
I've been in for a solid minute.
Yeah.
I'm pretty deep.
Yeah. I like it too when people go do Western stuff that, you know, don't spend a whole lot of time doing Western stuff like these. These are some interesting plays on Western footwear.
Wow. So that looks like a traditional with some sort of netting. Was that part of the shoe?
That's my sock.
Okay. Then that looks like a hybrid, like a traditional and a cowboy.
Yeah, but it's like not. But I like that because it doesn't go well. It doesn't do the thing with your pants where it messes mm-hmm. your pants line up.
I hate shoes that aren't comfortable. Like,
me too.
I like expensive shoes fine,
mm-hmm.
but if they're not comfortable, I will not be a slave to shoe fashion.
No.
At expense for my feet rubbing raw.
Exactly. I tell people when they ask me about it, I say, buy them a half size too big. That way when you're walking around on them and your feet swell, then they fit.
Award shows are the worst because they'll go, okay, here are the shoes you're going to wear. And I'm like, well, okay, it looks good with it, but I know I'm going to have blisters.
Yeah.
And they're like, suck it up. They're giving you this whole wardrobe for free.
And then what is it if it doesn't feel good?
Then I'm miserable all
exactly.
night.
Exactly.
Rather just wear tennis shoes.
Yeah. We should talk about this on the award show while, like, go off script and talk about
this
it.
This would be a bit for you and I to sit up there and talk about award show
they
shoes.
Drag us off and blame me.
They would play the music somehow.
Yeah.
So you're in college, you're getting a fallback.
I feel like we're not talking enough about you.
No, this is not about me at all.
Okay.
I mean, I'm over me. I do me all the time.
Okay.
So I would talk about me none if possible.
Okay.
But I'll tell you, here's something about me. I wear an Oura ring now.
Uh-huh.
And this Oura ring tells me how much I sleep at night.
Yeah.
And I don't sleep very much.
Right.
But it also tells me my score on how ready I am for the day.
Mm-hmm.
And the last five nights I've had like in the 60s, which is terrible because 100 is perfect. I never got in the 80s. My wife can get in the 80s. I've been at like 62 with an elevated heart rate for like five nights in a row. Don't know why. I think I need to smoke weed.
Have you checked your blood pressure?
I haven't gone to the doctor or anything.
Yeah.
But it makes me think like I should smoke weed because then I can be relaxed.
I had something like that happen a long time ago. It turned out I needed blood pressure medicine.
Well, now you're getting me freaked out about my blood pressure.
Well, I'm no doctor. I'm a fiddle player.
Were you playing in college?
Yeah.
While you were also studying? Uh-huh. Were you playing to the point where it's affecting your grades?
Yeah. But I still got out.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Were you playing to the point of you were getting, I'm not going to say so good, but you were getting a lot better and being recognized that you knew now that you had the fallback, but it didn't matter. You still were going to pursue it professionally?
Oh, yeah. I didn't really want to finish that degree, but I wanted, because I wanted to go on the road. And I was, you know, I was still a side man. And I haven't had a comfortable living doing that, you know.
Was it always in your cards to be a side person?
Well, see, because I started so young, I thought that that's what I was going to want to do until I fell in love with words. And that happened in part. I made this little fiddle record that's just mainly all fiddle tunes. And I made it because the Texas Playboys, they each individually had these little records they made of them, their own selves playing their tunes to sell to supplement the income at the table. And so I did that too, because who doesn't want an extra $15 anyway? So I did that. And then I sing harmony too at that point and wanted to somehow feature that. It turns out that you have to pay people if you sing their songs. Mm. So I just wrote a couple and threw them on there. And was playing with Billy Joe Shaver. And because I didn't know to ask, that you're supposed to ask before you set your CDs up on the merch table. There's like nobody teaches you what you're supposed to do. I just had them and I showed up for the show and I put them out there. And after one of the shows, he noticed. He was like, "What is this?" I was like, "Oh, that's my little fiddle record." He was like, you didn't ask to put that up there. I was like, "Oh, I didn't know I had to." And then so the whole drive, we had to listen to it. And this Billy Joe Shaver, if you've never met him, is a wild man, a wonderful human, but also very wild.
Listen to what? Your record?
Yeah.
He wanted to listen to the with you. You had to listen to it together.
Yeah, I rode in his car with him. Yeah. This is the man that is famous for making Waylon do right by his word, what he said he was going to do anyway, outlaw. But
he got only a couple fingers, the ball shooting. It's a lot. Yeah. It's a lot.
Honky Tonk Heroes, yes, is almost, sir, all written by him, all that stuff. But he also, before he died, he shot a man in the face like 2 years before. Anyway, why did I go there? Because he's a wild man. Mm-hmm. So I was a little bit nervous in the car because he has a gun in his boot, and I'm not lying. And two, like, those speed detectors, one on each side for no one would,
like, the radar detector,
yeah, those things, yeah. Crazy. And meanwhile, he hits an orange and white, like, road cone, and it's like, not road cone, barrel. Anyway, so we listened to it, and he said, "You know what you need to do?" And I was like, "What?" "You need to move to Nashville. You're going to be a songwriter." I was like, "No, I don't want to be fired. I love my job, Billy Joe." And he said, no, you got to go be a songwriter." I was like, "No, I really love playing the fiddle with you, sir. I feel like I'm doing a great job. I will not put my CD out anymore." And he's like, goes on and on. And then anyway, I wasn't getting fired. But then a year later, I did pack up all my shit and move to Nashville to pursue my dream of being a waitress.
What happened to make you actually, like, gun in the boot, pull the trigger to actually move to Nashville a year later? Was there one incident where you're like, "Okay, I gotta go now"?
There was a couple. I was having a hard time getting booked in Texas, booking myself, because you have to start out booking yourself, because everybody already knew me as a side person. And they're like, "No, but you play with Gary P. Dunn. No, but you play with Billy Joe. No, but you play with..." And I'm like, "No, but I'm a songwriter now."
Were you singing and playing fiddle?
I was singing, playing fiddle. If I could get a side person to play with me and play backup guitar, I'd play fiddle. If not, I'd play ukulele.
Got it.
Yeah. And just because it was easier to tote. And anyway, so did that and wasn't getting very far. And then Todd Snyder called and said, "You can open a show for me." And I said, "Okay, that'd be great." And I drove to Dallas, which is like 5 hours from Lubbock. And then he didn't show up. And then I only had like five songs. So I had to keep playing over and over and over and over. And only 2 weeks ago, he told me he was there.
Wait, you still had to play even though he didn't show up?
Yeah.
Do you play
it was
the
so
whole,
last minute?
You played the whole show then?
Over and over and over the same five songs. Yeah.
What the crowd think about that?
They didn't. Most of them left, but they didn't. They probably didn't think much of it.
Wow.
And so between that and then feeling like, because that was like one show that I got to do, mm-hmm. and I was just like feeling like, okay, I have to go kind of start over somehow. And when I do, I'm going to have to not be a side person because that's easy to fall back into.
It's like moving to a new school.
Mm-hmm.
You can almost
smart
change who you are.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's always a version of yourself, and maybe mm-hmm. a version that was kind of suppressed by you or other people because that wasn't always who you were, right? You almost don't get to evolve when you're with the same people all the time,
right?
But you felt a change of scenery in a more musical place would actually let you evolve without people going, "Nope, we only know you for this."
Right, and I felt like I had to be careful. Like I told myself when I move to Nashville and do this, I'm only going to play with people that I can learn something from. You know, has to be somebody I can learn something from.
Who did you know here? Who did you meet here early on?
Justin Towns Earl.
So you knew him before you got here? He was already...
No, I met him. Jason was playing at the Mercy Lounge, and he called me because we were just friends. This is way back in the day. And I'd played with him some when I was touring on my own out of Texas. And he was coming to town. He was like, come play the fiddle on this thing. I'm putting a record. It was the Sirens of the Ditch had just come out. And I said, okay. And I went up there and sat in. And then after I got off the stage, Joshua Black Wilkins and Justin Towns Earl were there. And we started playing pool, and they were my BFFs.
Did you move to like a small apartment here? What was your living situation
when
you
came to Nashville? Well, I lived with a boyfriend, and I lived with a boyfriend. I spent some time in the back of Buzz Kaysen's guest house for a while. And I lived with a boyfriend, and I lived on the road a lot.
Did you do the songwriter things here in town, like on Tuesday and Wednesdays, or were you gone as much as possible?
I was working as a waitress mostly.
Where?
At 360, and then, you know, 360 in Bellmead?
I don't know anywhere.
Yeah, there's that one, and then there was...
What's 360? 360 is a place?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like because like in 2003, there weren't as many restaurants here.
I know Bellmead. I used to live in Bellmead, mm-hmm. but I don't know 360.
It's by the spa.
Yeah. What'd you learn about, because I was a server, I was a waiter before server became the term.
Yeah, yeah.
I was a waiter.
Yeah.
What'd you learn through service, waiting?
That I liked wine.
Okay. That's good. I was going to say I learned the little bit of patience that I have.
Oh, yeah.
I have very little.
Yeah.
But I had to have patience with idiots.
Yeah.
Or I wouldn't make my money.
Yeah, exactly.
Because if I get irritated mm-hmm. at somebody who's going to tip me, then I'm not going to get a tip.
Right.
It's like dealing with some of these promoters now if I'm on the road doing comedy, and sometimes they're idiots.
Yeah.
And I have to just allow the idiots to spread their wings.
I love comedy so much. I go to like Comedy Club, Laugh Factory, all those Zanies. I love all that.
You here? You'll just go?
Yeah.
Have you seen anybody good lately?
No. I haven't been to the Zanies one in a second. I've been going out of town more.
Yeah.
So I go to the ones out of town. But
what's the best comedy show you've ever been to? Where you just laugh? I went to see Chris Rock once in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. I love Chris Rock. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was about the funniest thing I'd ever seen. It was like 3 hours, too. And I
heard about that. My friend Will Welch went to the one that was in New York.
I don't even like movies to be 3 hours, so I wouldn't think I'd like a three-hour comedy show, but it was so good, and it was like watching Picasso paint, but we knew how good Picasso was while he was painting instead of...
It's so wild. A comedian just gets up there with just a microphone, and that's all they've got.
The great part about it is there's no overhead for me. I will fly into a theater...
Yeah.
I have no, it's just me.
There's no overhead, but it's
none.
All your fault at the same time.
it's the most isolated, lonely thing I've ever done because if I go up and I don't feel right or I'm not on, mm-hmm. there's nowhere to go.
Yeah.
Once I was doing a show in Massachusetts and somebody yelled, I'm going to shoot you or I should shoot you. And everybody starts screaming. Mm-hmm. But the promoter had had a conversation with me before. It's like, hey, you have to do 50 minutes mm-hmm. or you're not getting paid. That's mm-hmm. fine. I do hour 10, hour 20, whatever. Yeah. But then everybody started running out. Cops came in.
Yeah.
I sat down on the stage and wouldn't leave because I didn't want him to go, you didn't do your 50 minutes.
Man, I've been in that spot in Belfast.
Like Belfast, not in America, Belfast?
Right.
Where they didn't want to pay you?
They wouldn't pay me until I hit the whole time limit and I was having trouble because I ate some bad fajitas. Bad idea.
Oh, you're sick.
The bathroom was right by the stage. Everybody knew what happened. Talk about a humiliating experience.
How'd you get through that one?
I came out of the bathroom and everybody heard what was on display. And I said, I'm sorry, but I have to keep going for 30 more minutes. I don't mind if y'all leave. I would. But I'm going to sit here and do this because otherwise I'm not going to have any gas money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm always afraid of them not paying. That's when I say, let idiots be idiots. I just say, yes, sir. You got it, sir.
Yeah.
I'm going to finish my show, show, sir.
If they get too weird, you just get your booking agent on them.
Yeah, but usually they only get weird with me if they do, because most are great.
Mm-hmm.
But if they do, it's 8:45. Like, before I'm going to go on, there's been some issue, and they don't want to pay for this.
Yeah.
And my manager maybe will probably be on the road with me.
Yeah, yeah.
But, like, anybody else won't answer the phone at 9 o'clock at night when I'm doing a show. So I just kind of feel lonely out there.
The Bobbycast. We'll be right back.
This festival and concert season will be all about the boots. And Tecovas is your next stop before attending your next concert. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring. You're talking about men's boots, women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition, timeless style, always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort, little to no break-in period. Like, it's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Plus, direct consumer pricing keeps the value on your feet, the money in your pocket. So stop by your local Tecovas store. Have a complimentary drink. Shop the new styles. You like the smell of leather or no?
I love it.
Yeah. That's what the whole store basically is. Fresh leather.
Yep.
Friendly staff. Or like the smell of staff?
I don't know. I guess I'm sure they smell good there.
Many stores have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. What a gift, too. Regular live music and events. There is no in-store experience like this. If you can't make it to a store, just visit tecovas.com.
Tecovas.com. Tecovas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tecovas.com. Find your new favorite pair of boots today. Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson. How do the biggest names in outlaw country start a musical revolution? Through one woman's vision from one tiny living room. Don't miss Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the outlaw country music movement and its biggest stars. Brewer shaped the sound and soul of country music as we know it today, despite never picking up an instrument herself. Lovingly dubbed as the Boar's Nest, Sue's place was an intimate staging ground where a new breed of singer-songwriters, wounded souls, wayward upstarts, that's where they would spur each other and tap into something bigger and something realer. Starring Mandy Moore and featuring Eben Moss Backrack as Shel Silverstein and TJ Osborne as Johnny Cash, alongside a full ensemble cast. Audible invites you to enter the Boar's Nest and experience the rise of a musical revolution. One woman, one time, one place. The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer, and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Listen now at audible.com/theboarsnest. Hey, it's Bobby Bones. I just want to say thanks to everybody who has stepped up for the kids at St. Jude. St. Jude's been leading the way in the world's best survival rates for some of the most aggressive forms of childhood cancer. Your support means that families never get a bill from St. Jude for treatment or travel or housing or food, so the families can focus on helping their child live. And that really hits home for me because I've been to St. Jude many times. I've hung out with the kids, played music for the kids. I was in the hospital a lot as a kid. Now, I didn't have cancer, but if it wasn't for people stepping up, I don't know that I would have been able to go and stay in the hospital and be taken care of. So that's why we do this, take care of others. You can help St. Jude stop childhood cancer by becoming a partner in hope. When you do this, you'll get this awesome new This Shirt Saves Lives shirt. So join all the doctors and researchers, you know, and me in this fight, and just text the word Bobby to 785-833. It's only six numbers, but text the word Bobby to 785-833.
This is the Bobbycast.
So you're in Nashville, you're making your friend circle.
Yeah.
When you moved here, did you kind of notice that musically it was...
I worked some at the Basement East too, despite Grammy's forgetfulness at the time. I would do some bar backing there.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Did you notice...
Not the East, just Basement OG. The East wasn't there yet.
Like how elevated musically this town was? Did you come here and you felt like there were a lot of just really strong players? Or were you just around so many already that it really wasn't a culture shock to you?
Players I was used to being around. I wasn't used to seeing so much great, like, artists, like, songwriters. Like, I didn't see a whole lot of that. Like, Lubbock, we had some, but it was like when you go out into the world in Nashville and you hear people, you're just like, that is an artist. Mm-hmm. That person, how did that person come up with those words? You know, that kind of thing. Musicianship is stellar and world-class here, and everybody does move here, and it's also, you know, inherited and of the soil probably or something, but I had never seen so many people that were, you know, like not just sidemen.
More intimidated at first or inspired? Or what would you ratio that at? Just by the artistry of folks.
I was always intimidated by that. I don't know how people could go on stage and on the stage be in the front and all that. It's so weird. It took me, I had horrible stage fright. It took me a long time to get used to. But yeah, it's intimidating, but it's also like not renewing. It's like intimidating, but it's an inspiring feels like such a stupid word, but it's such a, it makes you want to rise to the occasion too. Mm-hmm. You know, kind of, you want to be that good or hope to aspire mm-hmm. to be.
Do you remember anybody here that you saw and you were just like, I cannot believe that person is that good?
Oh yeah. Ben Hall. I don't know if he's playing much. He can really play. And then I'm trying to think who else could. Justin got to where he was really good, but then he took a turn for the worst. But that's the Beast's fault, not his. And other folks that were really good.
Like you saw him at a show. Maybe you didn't even know him, but you were just like, I'm almost enthralled. Like you couldn't stop thinking about the artistry.
Oh, the Time Jumpers.
Oh,
when
yeah.
I saw them, that was the same night I met Tom T. Hall. That was wild.
What about the Time Jumpers took you aback?
The fiddle playing was right, and it was so beautiful, and they were doing some incredibly difficult things. The way they engaged with the crowd, and it was just really beautiful.
Can you hear a fiddle in a song and not judge it?
Yes.
You can.
Because this is the thing about fiddle players. We all stick together. It's not like fiddle players are monogamous. They like this one fiddle that they really love to play. They might have a backup one. But also fiddlers like Eamon. All the fiddle players in the world want to sit around and just play the fiddle all day. You know, Tyler Childers, Timmy's playing fiddle, and everybody's playing the fiddle now. It didn't used to be like that. But, you know, guitar players, they like to cut heads and, you know.
So you're not switching out fiddles every song like a guitar player?
No.
Not, do you switch at all? It's just one of the ones. Really?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have to tune? And pardon my ignorance on fiddle, because I play guitar a little bit, but I don't play fiddle at all.
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever have to change tuning in a fiddle?
You can if you want. I never do because it kind of doesn't settle right. You can do whatever you want to any instrument, but no, you leave it like it's supposed to be, and you have a tuner there that you just tune up.
Do you play, since you play the fiddle, again, ignorance, please forgive me.
No,
do you play one of those?
I love talking about the fiddle.
Like the electric harp type thing? Is that at all the same as a fiddle?
The electric harp.
Yeah. It's got like, say, listen, I don't even know what
it's
called.
No, it's okay. I probably get to the bottom of it. If there's an electric harp, I want to own it.
Is there not an electric harp? Am I just really?
There probably is.
What is the closest instrument to a fiddle that's not a fiddle? Because you could probably put me on it. What else do you play?
I mean, there are things that, there are old ancient ideas that it came from the lyre. Mm-hmm. Lyre, whatever, one of Apollo's muses or something. I don't know. I wasn't there. But the fiddle is awesome. I play one with five strings like Johnny Gimble did.
Can you ding, ding? Can you finger it in place?
Yeah, it's like a mandolin, but you don't bow the mandolin.
You said the ukulele.
Are they similar
at all?
No.
No.
No, it's just they're both little.
Well, so there's a similarity.
Yeah.
They're both little. Fingers, do you have calluses from playing fiddle? Is that a thing? Because you have to hold the frets down.
Yeah.
And if you don't, mine go away if I don't play for a little bit.
It's a different type of callus. I get one here, too, that sometimes can be considered.
Your neck? You get a callus in your neck?
Well, yeah, from where you hold it. But sometimes it's odd because sometimes people think it's a hickey. Like if you've been playing or practicing a lot and it makes like a thing, and sometimes, you know, kind of gets a little bit of a callus on your neck right there. And if you play it a lot during the day, you can get a mark that might, you know, somebody be in a like, overly, like, whatever, they'd be like, is that a hickey on your neck? And you're like, no, that's not a hickey on my neck. You're an idiot. Have you ever had a hickey?
Like, I'm a freaking baller fiddle player.
It's not what a hickey looks like.
So
you've never seen a hickey.
Could you?
That's what it looks like.
That's true. I don't think I've ever had a hickey. Mike, you ever had a hickey?
No, never.
I've been a loser.
You could give yourself one.
That I've done on my bicep.
There you go.
I've sucked my bicep into a hickey more than once. But then you go to school and they'd be like, I'd be like, I got a hickey.
Yeah.
Like, no, it matches with your mouth exactly where if you bend your mouth to your arm.
Yeah.
So in Nashville, you make your friend group. When do you feel comfortable being a front, like comfortable being a front person? Is that years later?
Yeah. It took me some getting used to.
Did you have any crazy shows where you're like, does not feel good. I don't like being a front person. Maybe I just want to go back to being a side player because it didn't go well.
I didn't want to go back to being a side player, but I wanted to figure out how to overcome it. Like I was reading some self-help books and downloading things to try and figure it out. why it was like that. Like, why do I always get up there and get nerved out when I'm trying to sing my own songs?
Yeah, what's up with stage fright in you, and how did you combat it?
I read books about it and tried to be scientific about it, and that didn't help. And after a while, I there's a couple of things. Like, you know, you don't realize it when you go to a show until you're watching from the other side of stage. People have a music listening face, like the way they listen to music. And it's not always a pleasant face. It's like, you know, they're like relaxed or they're in thought. And you could take that as sleeping or as not caring. Or they might be like thinking hard, but it looks like I hate you.
Mm.
You know, there's a lot of music listening faces I've noticed. And so there's that. And then it's part of it, though. You have to learn how to navigate, like I feel like you do, to be able to play anywhere at any time. You have to be able to put up with hecklers and know all that kind of stuff and how to deal with people that are just genuine assholes and do want to throw stuff at you. But you have to learn all that. And then the fear thing, I guess, what happened with me is when I did the Opry for the first time and I was about to not go on stage. And he said...
You were thinking about not going on stage, really?
I was terrified.
Really? Anxiety attack? Just crazy anxiety?
Yeah, I used to get bad panic attacks, too.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I started transcendental meditation. That helped. But what he said that helped was... he said, oh, you're nervous? It just means you care.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, go out there and be nervous and show them that you care with your nerves. And I was like, okay. And I was like, I went out there and I was like, you know, he's right. I just care.
Mm-hmm. I worked with a bunch of kids on American Idol for 4 years. Where that was the main thing they would ask me. I was like the head mentor on their show. And they would go, how do I not be nervous? And I was like, you don't. There's no not being nervous.
Yeah.
There is, you only have a few instances in your life where you get to be nervous for something awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of times it's going to be nervous for something that ain't awesome.
Right.
But yeah. if you get to be nervous for something awesome, that means this is cool. This matters.
Yeah.
This is important to you.
Yeah.
And the sooner you realize that you can't overtake nervousness mm-hmm. just by thinking about something.
Right.
And that you embrace the fact that it just kind of sucks that you're yeah. nervous for a good reason.
Mm-hmm.
And the more you do it, the more that you can, for me, especially doing stand-up, when things went wrong mm-hmm. and I was able to navigate out of them,
mm-hmm.
then it didn't scare me so much that things would go wrong anymore.
Right.
It just took me to get up there and screw up a bunch to go, oh, worst case scenario, I'm still okay because I've right. gotten through it. And then I started to be less nervous. Not mm-hmm. because I got better at it, but because mm-hmm. I got better at being bad at it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's funny.
And so it was like, mm-hmm. okay, well, if I suck... And I'm mm-hmm. so nervous that I'm going to suck. I've sucked before and I found my way out of it.
Right.
So I feel comfortable enough to go into it again. And if I'm nervous, one, cool. Yeah. That means it's worth something. And two, I'll be okay.
Yeah.
Got out of it before, got out of it again.
Yeah.
Are you stage fright now? Gone?
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm. It took a little doing between that experience. And then I went on tour with John Prine a lot. And he knows how nervous I was. And I was going out solo. I went out solo for all kinds of folks. Even Ryan Adams had some... experiences there too that were interesting. But anyway, all that to say, I was playing a show with John once and it played like, I don't know, like Groningen or somewhere in Sweden. And I forgot my shoes. And the next day I went out and I had my tennis shoes on with my black dress and all this. We're playing theaters, you know. And he said, you can't wear those shoes. It doesn't look right with that outfit. I was like, what am I going to do? And he's like, well, it looks good with just the tights. And he said, I'll make sure we find your shoes. But like, so many weird things happened so far on every stage that it's like, I think I've done all the bad things yeah. that could possibly happen.
And whatever they shoot at you,
yeah.
you're going to be okay.
Yeah. Yeah. All the technical things have happened, everything that could happen probably.
And you also, what I've learned too, like if my ears go out
mm-hmm.
and I just keep going.
Yeah.
Just keep going.
Just keep going.
That's it. Just yeah. keep going. Because I've stopped early on. Oh, Mayors, hold
yeah.
on.
Yeah.
Just keep going.
Yeah.
And nobody really knows.
I mean, the Beatles did it without monitors.
I was watching an old video of the Beatles playing Shea Stadium
mm-hmm.
in like late 60s. Like it's where the Mets played baseball. No monitors. And not only that, they would just have their little amps to an entire stadium. And they were just putting mics on amps. And the people were screaming so loud, you couldn't even hear them.
Yeah.
They're terrible. And today it would be terrible
mm-hmm. yeah,
sound.
Yeah.
But they would play, I can't buy me love. terribly mic'd, terribly amped, and the people yeah. were just screaming so loud.
I heard, because I wasn't alive then, that those venues all smelled like pee, too, because all the folks were peeing themselves watching because those concerts.
I see where people now, that people will wear diapers to Taylor's shows because they don't want to leave.
So oh.
They'll just pee in their diapers.
Like adult diapers.
Uh-huh.
Nice.
That's how you know you made it. When people...
That's, cool.
When people want to stay at your show so bad,
yeah.
they'll just
yeah.
eat a bad fajita
yeah.
and stay.
Yeah.
You know?
I heard George Jones did that once and also acted like Donald Duck in a diaper.
In the George Jones series? Have you seen that at all, the George and Tammy?
No, I saw the Tales from a Tour Bus.
Oh, yeah, I saw that too. Yeah, George and Tammy, it was actually really good. Mm-hmm. And like Jessica Chastain played Tammy Wynette and could sing.
She's so hot.
Yeah, had she's to say pretty. It. She's pretty.
Yeah.
And, but he talks like a duck a lot when he would like get nervous. It's really good. Loving You, out June 23rd. So you did this with Bobby Nelson. What? Willie's a part of this too, right? He got one of the songs?
Yeah, he sang on Summertime.
And so what did he think about the project?
He thought it was beautiful. I mean, I'm going to go ahead and speak for Willie, but I believe Willie loved his sister's musical talents and probably was his favorite. But it's cool. It's cool. We did a bunch of old jams. And
did you do Always On My Mind with Bobby?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did that. You're Always On My Mind. And we did some Texas Playboy stuff. You know, Willie's one of his first shows he ever put on. His first was a Bob Wills show down in Texas. And he's a big Bob Wills fan. You know that by all of his tunes he's covered. And he was a huge Cyndi Walker fan. Also did a record of hers. But good music, as he said, as once they're written, they're for everybody.
Mm-hmm. The new album, Loving You, you guys should check it out. June 23rd, it's out. And do you still practice?
Yes.
Really?
You know what I've been doing lately? Well, these release shows I'm doing with The Wheel, July 8th and 9th, but down in Texas.
I saw Ray Benson at the Grammys for the first time in a long time. He came up and he was like, "Boy, he's so big, right?
I love him.
He's so tall
and
friendly, and he puts his arm around me.
Yeah.
He's like, "Hey!"
Yeah.
I knew him in Austin. Like, I was in Austin. I knew all
that's
the guys
so
from
cool.
Asleep at the Wheel. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so speaking of Ray Benson, I was just thinking about him the other day. I didn't mean to interrupt your story there.
No, that's okay. No, I was just going to say, I went and dusted off the, it's going to sound silly, but I don't care. I went and dusted off the Orange Blossom special, and I've been playing it at the rehearsals just for fun, and playing it way too fast, because that's also fun. But you forget sometimes if you don't keep the tunes in your pocket, and so I try to keep them close somewhat.
I want to find, before you leave, and we're going to cut this in a second, I want to find the instrument that I brought up.
I'm curious.
Me
now
too.
Me too,
because I'm not known for my instrument prowess.
Listen, you can't know everything.
Trust me. I think I do. And then I am quickly reminded that
don't forget to write down that Ferragamo documentary.
I don't even write it down. I'll remember it.
You will? Okay.
Yeah, remember it. How's your memory?
It's really good when I'm not smoking weed, actually.
Have you noticed a difference?
Oh, yeah, because I haven't partaken.
Mm-hmm. Whatever.
All these words sound like they could be better, don't they? In such a long time that...
Do you miss it?
Sometimes I miss the part where you can just... where everything's hilarious and chill.
Man, I would like that too. Mm-hmm. Auto harp.
Oh, the auto harp. I love that. I have Paul Kinnerly's.
That's what I'm talking about. Okay, I guess electro harp is not the same thing, obviously.
Yeah, this is Mother Maybell thing. The thing where you push the buttons and you can strum stuff.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about the auto harp.
The auto harp's an amazing machine. I subscribe to the idea that you can get yourself out of ruts, be it musically or with writing, by just changing up the instruments. It wasn't an idea unique to me, but a lot of people do it. Like Tom Waits will go play with some kind of instrument he's not used to playing with and jostle some stuff and get some new ideas. It's like anything, you know, if you're getting bored with cooking, buy yourself a new spoon. I don't know.
The auto harp to me looks like if you were to mix a steel guitar with one of those 80s piano guitar ukulele things where you're like, not a ukulele, but it's like the piano and the guitar. No, it's a centaur. What is that thing called where it's like, it looks like a guitar.
Accordion?
Well, it's like a guitar, but it's got a piano in it.
Oh.
Like a keytar?
Keytar.
There you go.
It's like if you mix a steel guitar and a keytar where you're pushing the buttons.
Yeah. It's like, it is like that. You hold it and you push these buttons and you strum. Like, so you don't have to, like...
Do your fingers.
Chords. Yeah.
Dang. Do you ever...
takes a long time to tune. Speaking of it, Gillian Welch, give me my auto harp tuner back, please.
We got to get our piano tuned, which is annoying.
Oh, yeah.
It takes forever.
It does.
It's like, ding, 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 ding. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Well, look.
Well, make sure you're not around when they do that.
I try not to be, but it's like... I make a plan.
I can
and
be
they
there.
We'll be there between 1 and 4.
Listen, I'll be there. I'll get the surgeon's shoes, and I will buy myself a new closet after your piano's tuned.
All right, look, everybody, go and follow on Instagram Amanda Pearl Shires. That's her name there. What are you doing on TikTok? Do you play? I haven't seen your TikTok. Do you do anything?
I don't really. I tried to do it because everybody said to do it. I'm just not good at all that. Like, I can't find enough time to do that and, you know, play my ancient fiddle. You know, okay. I'm back in the closet playing Forsaken Lover. What am I supposed to be doing on TikTok?
What's the oldest fiddle you have?
It's just the only one I have. It's not old anymore, though. My old one died in an accident on stage, but the one I have currently is made by Jeffrey Allison, who is a luthier that joined the army to, his plan was to go and learn how to make fiddles and stuff in Germany and all that, but he got sent, you know, to the sands and started carving and making fiddles and transporting them in Humvees and such. Anyway, he came back and makes fiddles, and mine is a Jeffrey Allison fiddle, and it's maybe 20 years old, but I love it.
Really?
Yeah.
It's awesome.
It's my buddy.
Thank you for coming by. Everybody, check out Loving You. I'm a big fan.
Oh, thank you. I'm a big fan.
Yeah, I don't believe that. It's almost like when someone goes, hey, nice to meet you. You have to nice to meet you back, even though maybe it wasn't nice to meet them. But
this conversation, I feel like we have a lot of things in common.
I feel like we have a lot of things in common, too.
Yeah.
So,
how are you at swimming?
Well, it depends.
Yeah.
I grew up in lakes, but I've done a couple triathlons, like Olympic triathlons.
Oh, shit.
But I wouldn't say I'm a good swimmer.
Just wondering. I'm not either. I can't do the overhanded thing.
I can tread water for a long time.
Me too.
Mm-hmm. See? I can jump off a dock.
I can do that too.
Exactly.
See? That's so what I'm talking about.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, and both of us have stopped smoking weed.
Yes.
That's right.
You never started.
But well, I still stopped.
Exactly.
I'm not doing it at all.
You stopped thinking about it.
All right, you guys go follow Amanda and check out the record Loving You. Amanda, great to see you.
Great to see you too.
Love this episode of the Bobbycast? Subscribe on iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop before attending your next concert. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. Stop by your local Tecovas store. Have a complimentary drink. Shop new styles. If you can't make it to a store, just visit tecovas.com. TECOVAS.com. You can probably spell it. You probably know it. Tecovas.com. Find your new favorite pair of boots today. This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for 4 lines. Plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on StraightTalk.com. Family plan discount with 4 lines. All on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.